High-level U.S. delegation led by U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in Mexico today. Clinton is accompanied by the Secretary of Defense, though, the Secretary of Homeland Security, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the Director of National Intelligence, which may perhaps give you an idea of how diplomatic this meeting is going to be. Feels more like a war council, especially since the death of three people associated with the U.S. consulate in the city of Juarez earlier this month, gunned down like so many people whose lives have ended on the streets of this brutal border town. Headline here or there, but nothing can really convey the scale of the violence, the fear, and the sense of denial in Ciudad Juarez across the Rio Grande from El Paso, Texas. It might as well be on Mars, according to our next guest. Charles Bowden, he's a journalist and author who's been reporting on Juarez for 15 years, the author of the new book, Murder City, Ciudad Juarez and the Global Economy's New Killing Fields. Good morning, Charles.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
First of all, what stands out most in your mind? Because reading your book is almost the feeling of being lost in Ciudad Juarez and fearing for one's own life and not knowing if you'll ever be able to escape.
Well, the kind of people in the book are helpless. The thing you have to know about Juarez is that, contrary to some theories about the city, the violence has no real center. No one's really in control. You have 500 to 900 street gangs. You have at least two cartels fighting. You have the Mexican army, the federal police, the state police, the local police. All of these groups kill people. Now, since January 1st, 2008, 4,803 people have been murdered in Juarez. Since January 1st of 2010, 520 people have been murdered in Juarez.
Listen to the voice of Jose Antonio Galvan, someone you know very, very well, known as El Pastor, who is the founder of a mental institution in Juarez. This is how he characterizes the violence.
The people remember Chicago, the Al Capone and the Mafia and all the stuff. Well, it's nothing, not like Juarez. You go to Juarez, you better be ready to dancing when the dead, you know, on the border. The dead is right there waiting for you.
El Pastor Galvan is a kind of hero of mine because he's highly intelligent. He's putting his life at risk. He's trying to sell love in a city of death. And he's taking care of people who are destroyed by the city in an asylum he's created. Everybody in Juarez is at risk, but most people in Juarez are not killers. But everyone's prey, and I'll tell you why. There's no protection. Government is broken down. Nobody calls the police unless they want to get robbed. At least 100,000 factory jobs have been lost. 116,000 houses have been abandoned. At least 100,000 people have fled the city, 30 to 60,000 to El Paso. This is a city where you don't go out at night, where if you get in trouble, there's no one to call. This is like out of some futuristic novel, only it's actual and it's now.
Let me alert you to a chapter sort of towards the end of the book called Murder Artist. It begins with these words. He is calm now. The kidnappings, the tortures, the killings brought back a sense of self he could not control. The workman's pride that fills a man when he sees the wall, the house, or perhaps even the church he has built. But you're talking about a hitman there. Do you have a sense in your mind of who that is?
I know that person. Personally. He's a sicario. He worked for the cartel. He was a state policeman. He's killed hundreds of people. And I spoke with him for days that he's an insight into the city. There are a lot of people like that in the city, some not as well trained, and they're all killing.
And yet the sicario, the hired killer you describe, sounds like he's part of a growing industry there. How does it affect the personality of someone to spend so much of their time torturing and killing, but yet be ordinary citizens, in a sense, on the street?
I'll tell you, based on his case, exactly what I know. First, I'll tell you the thing you do not want to hear. He's a normal human being. If you gave him some personality test, he'd just score as a normal person. Secondly, I'll tell you he thinks he can never be forgiven for what he's done, that he's done such evil that even though he's still breathing, in a sense, his life is over. He believes, since he's become religious, that he spent 20 years working for Satan. But what he knows
Wow.
is... What he knows is that city is now full of, in a sense, his children, younger men that have followed down the same path. As I said, there's 500 to 900 street gangs there. They're not collecting cars. They kill. They sell drugs. They're dangerous.
Charles Bowden, you describe Ciudad Juarez as the global economy's new killing fields, which suggests you think this city is a snapshot of the future, that other places will end up like this. Yet, my sense is this is a very unusual place, one of a kind. Why do you think that it is the global economy's new killing field?
Because it's a poster child of the global economy. Because starting in the 60s, our free trade theories, first as border factories and through NAFTA, were implemented in this city first. This is the place that was going to be the model, and it's broken down, and I will tell you exactly why. The government never created infrastructure, meaning the Mexican government. The factories paid wages, American-owned factories, that were so low, so miserable, so vicious, that 100 to 200% of the employees quit every year in a city where you couldn't get a job. We're reaping a harvest now, which in part is our fault and which in part is the fault of the government of Mexico. These policies in Juarez, or the city of Juarez, only matters, and you're only speaking of it, because it abuts the U.S. border, because we can see it. I'll give you one other fact, too, that El Paso physically is contiguous with Juarez. You can't tell visually where one ends and the other begins. Juarez, as I mentioned earlier, had 520 murders this year. El Paso's had one.
Wow.
Both cities are essentially Mexican, meaning El Paso is almost all Mexican-American. And I'll tell you why there's a difference. There's a rule of law. People get decent housing. People in El Paso have jobs. Their electricity works. There are public schools. The water comes out of the faucet. If you want to know why this is the future, it's because enough people are not being treated the way the people in El Paso are, and too many people in the world are being treated the way the people in Juarez are.
You've been 15 years covering this story. When do you call it quits?
Oh, God, every morning. I wanted out of this years ago. I think if you're in the racket I'm in, and I'm a reporter, you get a low wage, but you have an obligation, and the obligation is to create some sort of public record so that your fellow citizens can make decisions based on information. This has to be reported. This has to be written down.
Well, there's a lot of information in this book, Murder City, Ciudad Juarez, and the Global Economy's New Killing Fields. The author of that book, my guest, Charles Bowden. Thanks so much.
Thank you.